Thank God for his goodness today. Where would we be without him? This next section of scripture, as we start in this, we saw the key verse is verse 11, which says he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. And then of course he points out the parable of the sower, and we looked at that and some other things. And as we look in this one, you got 41 verses, 923 words, all inspired by God, kept forever preserved in our King James Bible. This chapter at a 5.1 grade level, so we're leaving no child behind today. Yeah, I wonder where they got that one from. Don't you love it when the world comes up with something new and the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun? Wonder where they got that at. But as you look down at verse 21... the Bible says this, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. So if you look back at verse 22, there's a four-word phrase there right at the beginning, there is nothing hid. There is nothing hid. As we go to the Lord in prayer, that's what I'm going to preach on today, there is nothing hid. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you and we pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord God, to understand the Word of God according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And pray today, God, you help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we love you, and God, we thank you for everything you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look in the Word of God this morning, there are parts that reveal the purpose of growth in the born-again believer. And as we see somebody grow in the Lord, Paul talked about over there about getting out off the milk and getting to the meat of the Word of God, or Peter did, excuse me. And we look at that, we want to get into the sincere part of the Word of God. And that'll do with the purpose of growth in the born-again believer. Christianity provides the only person and the only type of being that can stay a baby all its life. That's a true story. I've dealt with people in my lifetime that's 50 years old, been saved for 35 years, and yet they act like they've been saved 2 days. What happened? They never grew. They might have made two or three professions of faith, whatever, since then, saying I wasn't really saved, but either way, there was no growth there at all. And some people mistake no growth for not being born again. Then on the other hand, you meet people that get to a certain place and they stop growing. We got to grow up. Yeah. This used to bother some people at this church, and I say, you need to quit being a big fat baby and grow up. Let me say it again in case they're watching. You need to grow up. That's your main problem. Over and over, people need just to grow up. You talk to anybody who's parented children, the first thing they say is, oh, look at our sweet little bundle of joy. When they turn 18, they kick them out of the house and say, go get a job in an apartment uptown because they've had enough. You eat all the groceries. You don't pay on the power bill.
Go ahead.
See how that works. Some of you's plotting right now. Let's see, they'll be 18. Or I'm sorry, you have your phone doing the calculator. I'm sorry, I forgot what year we was in. But here's the thing. Some people never grow up.
Yeah.
But there's some people that hide things, and before long it comes out. That's what Jesus is going to deal here with, these parts that reveal the purpose of the born-again believer's growth. If you look down at verse 21, Jesus says this, and he said unto them, he shows them the part which is the purpose of light. And it enlightens us. He said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? You understand what a candle is? It's this oblong looking thing. And they don't just sell them at the scented candle store. They sell them at the cheap section at Walmart. So if your power goes out, you got something to light and look at. Amen. Everybody familiar with that? Some of you ladies, bless your hearts, y'all think a candle's this big and it's got the thing and all of them smell and have aroma, but not all of them are like that. Right. Back when I was a kid, we only had one kind of candle, just one. And none of them, they all smelled like fire, like you lit something. Yep. Smell a thing. We got candles out at least twice a year, and both days were in January. So what happened in January? It snowed? No, it didn't snow. It iced over here all the time. We're more likely to get an ice storm than a snowstorm. How many of y'all figured that out yet? And you look outside and the trees are covered in ice and the ground's all glistening and everything. And you get warnings that you got to put up with your kids and all day and act like a parent to them all day. How about that? There you stuck with them. You can't send them outside to play because they'll break their full neck. You done told them that, right? Can't go out there and play in the ice. You got to sit in here and play. Oh, I forgot. We don't go outside anymore. I'm forgetting what year it is again. We only sit right inside and worry somebody now. But you got all that going on. But a candle and a candle. Who knows what a candlestick is? You remember that term? That's the thing you put the candle on and hold it. So why do you have that? So it don't drip on your hand, dummy. Some candlesticks have a thing with a thing like this and a candle here. Some have a little rod extended to it or whatever so you can look under things and stuff like that. So everybody gets that, right? Now watch this. Every Bible translation since 1611 has tried to put the word lamp and lampstand there. Their alibi for this is simply this. It's to better render what was before it. But at the same time, they say, we're going to make this modern language so you'll understand it better. How many of you know that a lamp doesn't, a modern lamp isn't a candle? So if I'd use lamp and lampstand, you'd been thinking that thing that sits on the end table or beside your bed, wouldn't you? But if say candle, you kind of understand they used candles back then.
Right.
Amen.
When he deals with oil in other places and the oil lamps and stuff, he'll be very plain about oil in that lamp. If he deals with candle, you know what he's talking about. See how much plainer the Bible is when you see something very simple like that? The problem with with making candle a lampstand is the translations that pretend, and I say pretend to be literal word for word, reveal they're not literal word for word, but they look to associate with other new translations against one. How about that? They all line up against one book. And secondly, the reason they tried is to say it's incorrect to say candle. But we're talking about a Savior that's accepted largely in part by poor people, and poor people back then would have used a candle. How about that? Just so plain to see what the Bible says and let the Bible speak for itself. The purpose of light is to enlighten and shed light on something. And he makes the comment, is the candle put on a candlestick? He said, is it put under a bushel? Is it put under the bed? No, you put the candlestick as high as you can get it. So to light up the whole room. And it's also to expose, because he said in verse 22, which is the purpose of light, he said, for there is nothing hid but shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. The light reveals some things. The light reveals sins. The light reveals sins. You can come into this church and sit there and say you're perfect in every way, but when we read this book, it exposes sins in your life. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, it says, for be sure your sins will find you out. It's a matter of time because God always shows the light on the thing. You know what's crazy? You think you can quit church and walk away from it, you'll drive down the road and all of a sudden the Bible verse is up there on the highway and whatever it is, it doesn't really matter, but whatever it does is expose the evilness and the sins that's in your heart that you're trying to run from. It's always there. You'll say, I won't look at that. And then like a dummy, you go to Facebook thinking, well, I'll go here to get some relief. And all them hypocrites out there that's cussing and drinking Budweiser in one picture and then telling you Bible verses judge not in the other, that little judge not starts getting to you.
Come on.
How about that? And then you try to run even further and say, I won't go there. And you'll go twit with Twitter. And guess what? There'll be a tweet on there for you. John 3:16. John 10:10. There'll be a verse there, and that thing just keeps coming up, and it keeps exposing the thing. It also reveals sources. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, listen to this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." What does the light do? It exposes, it reveals sins, and it reveals sources. The light shows who you are walking beside and who you're walking with. There are people legitimately right now that think they are walking in the path of God, with God, for God, by God. You shed some light on it, they look over and there's the devil. And they say, "How did you get here?" He says, "I was praying with you back here." See, the devil will talk you out of coming to church, then he shows up and worries me to death. How about that? While he's worrying you to death and worrying you, me, he's got you convinced that, you know, "Well, I wouldn't go there either." Then he's got me over here saying, "Well, you know, this, that, and other." And it's going on the whole time. I mean, steadily, listen, you want to see a devilish attack, try to get up and come to church on Sunday morning. You'll hit the thing somewhere in there.
Right.
It won't take long. There may be a time that God backs off the devil and don't let him get to you, but then again, he may just let him poke you a little bit. And with some of you, in a bear, you need to be woke up out of your hibernation.
Right.
Why? So you can grow. That's what the light does. Listen, how about this? You ever been to one of them spook house things? We come up on Halloween, right? So I went to one in July one year down at the beach, or the coast, I'm sorry. We're supposed to call that the coast. I'm sorry. My apologies. Anyway, we was down there, and it might have been, no, it wasn't July, it was April. And we walk in this thing, me and Jordan decide we're going to go in this thing. It's a spook house. Can't be too bad. It ain't Halloween, right? We go in there, and the first thing we walk in there, they say, "You can't turn on any lights." We're having to feel our way down this wall, and all of a sudden, I feel somebody touching me, and I knew Jordan's right there. One Dusty Rhodes bionic elbow later, boom, we dropped him. He is gone.
That's right.
Woo! Don't fool me in the dark. I love you, but don't do that. And then the craziest thing happened, we go in there, and here's a guy who's pretending like he's one of them cranky-looking doctors, and he's inside a guy's stomach, and he flips all that on us. It was water. Why? How do I know that? I turned the light on. Because if not, we was going with a second bionic elbow on that dude, and a clothesline. We was going to take him out. But as long as the lights were off, it was scary. Didn't know what you just got through on you. But when the light comes on, it reveals the source. There are people right now that say, "Don't bring that book to church. We're gonna give you a handout." No, I'm bringing my Bible, sorry.
That's right.
If it's all the same to you, listen, I'd rather have my Bible with me than anything else. Mm-hmm. Tell you why. Because if somebody goes to tell me don't use the Bible, I know what we're fixing to do. We're fixing to go away from God.
Yep.
The light reveals the source.
Right.
When people say, "Well, I want you to go in here and wire this 220 up to this box, but don't take a flashlight." Are you kidding me? I'm going to take a flashlight in the daytime to look at that stuff, and I'm going to tell you why. You ain't been hit by 220 before. I have. I know that if it grabs you, you don't pull away from it. Somebody has to pull you away from it or cut the source. Are you listening? I'm going to take that flashlight, and I'm going to look at every bit of that connection, look where everything's going from, and then I'm going to shine it down, make sure there ain't no water in the floor. You ever seen Bugs Bunny? The whole thing. Yeah, that water in the floor will do a number on you, too. You say, "I'll show them. I got on rubber-soled tennis shoes." That stuff, 220 don't care. You standing in water, you'll get it. Listen to me. That light reveals the source. If we walk in the light, he is in light, we know where we're going. Third thing about that light, it reveals Satan. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hold your place here, I'm going to show you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to look at verse 12 and following there. We're seeing the purpose of the light. The light reveals sins, it reveals sources, and then it reveals Satan. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12, says, "But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion for them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." Who are they? Verse 13, for such are false apostles. Wait a minute. You mean that sign I saw said the apostle was coming to that church and he ain't really an apostle? Exactly. There's three qualifications for an apostle. One of them can be fake, the other two cannot. A man tells you, I seen Jesus Christ in the flesh. We know he hasn't, but he can say that and we can't prove or disprove that. But the other two, number one, you got to be able to heal the sick. I don't mean with a bare aspirin either. I mean, you got to be able to touch him and heal him on the spot. Well, what if they don't have faith? The apostles didn't ask. When they did something, they had the same power of Jesus Christ. He endued them with that same thing. They didn't ask whether you had faith. They just did it.
Yeah.
Secondly, you got to be able to raise the dead. There's the real trick. You have somebody come out with a circus-like performance, and they can act like they're sick and have somebody touch them or smack them in the head and claim they got well, and you can't prove or disprove that sometimes, but you know it's rigged because if you ever seen them do it, you know. But when they say, we're going to raise the dead, they can't raise the dead.
Right.
You know who hated Jesus more so than the medical doctors in his day, the Pharisees? The guy on the funeral home. He's passing by and says, Talitha Kumai, right? I mean, we're headed to the graveyard. And he raised that one. He took his men into a house where this girl was lying there dead. They started laughing at him, and he told them to get out of the house and raise her from the dead in front of his men. She admitted, listen, Lazarus had been dead 4 days when he showed up, and he never even touched him. He told him, Lazarus, come forth. And there he comes straight up out of the grave, bound hand and foot. See, you have been deceived if somebody says they're an apostle. But I know such, I don't care who you know. I don't care what they told you on television. I don't care what their literature says. This Bible says there's your three qualifications. For such are false apostles. Oh, we just like you. Well, it says right here, deceitful workers. What are they deceitful about? Well, you saw us perform these miracles today, and we got to have some money to stay on the air. And if we don't get $10 million, we're going to be in the poorhouse sure enough. Really? $10 million. You know what the operating budget is for a TV show? Go look it up and then look at what you're looking at and see how they beg for money. Without your money, they go off there. Please quit sending them money. I had a man up in the northern part of Cherokee County have me come preach for him. He's an independent Baptist. I preached a message on false apostles and deceitful workers and all that, and I named them all off, the ones at that day at the time. I went through the TV guide. Y'all remember that little book we used to have, a TV guide? That's like an ancient document now, like some, you know, the Qumran scrolls or something like that. You can't find it nowhere. But I went through there, and I just went down the religious channel and copied all the names out and started naming them off. I didn't see him for months, and one day I saw him in a restaurant. He said, there's that man that split my church. I said, whoa, 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 split your church? Why didn't you call me until now? 2 months. He said, when you preached that message, all them people watched them TV preachers, and they left my church. I said, didn't they tell you they left that Southern Baptist church up the road and had you start that because they did the same thing up there to them? I said, they tell you that? He said, how'd you know about that? I said, I knew you knew about that. I said, you don't start the thing on false apostles and deceitful workers, brother. You start that thing on the foundation of Jesus Christ, not on disgruntled church members. Every church split that takes a bunch of disgruntled people out to try to start a church always fails. Every time. When people find out this church started out a split, they wonder which one to use, the bad guy. But here's the catch. When we got right with God and took all these plaques off everything, I believe I burned 50 brass plaques out of this little building. When we done that and the last one left, God lifted the veil and we started being blessed. Are you listening to me yet? We apologized to the outfit we come from and three of them left the next day. They didn't want to apologize. But we better than them. You ain't better than nobody. In fact, the guy that we apologized to led me to the Lord, and he had no idea when I sent him the letter what the letter was about. Are you listening now? False apostles, deceitful workers, watch the next words, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. What are they doing? They're cleaning up. They're putting on different clothes. They're wearing a different style of clothing. They're transforming themselves. Verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Here's the real catch to all this, isn't it? The light reveals Satan. The light reveals Satan. He tries to be an angel of light, but can I say this? Jesus Christ outshines him.
Right.
If Christ isn't around, you might believe some of his stuff, but you go to pulling out the Bible and look for him, and you find out he's an angel of light. Lord have mercy, you're going to say to yourself, wait a minute, whoa, whoa, you're the devil. Light shines on him and shows he's the devil. It shows sins, it shows sources, but then it shows Satan. That's why he wants to get away from this book. Immediately. You ever been to these churches, these liberal churches, you know what they do? They pull down the screen, give you a pretty picture, one sentence. I'm talking about the preaching part, I ain't talking about their music part. And the preacher's up there doing everything but preach the Bible. He's giving you illustrations. He's giving you stories. He's giving you little quips and quotes of things. But he don't go in the book and get them. You know why? He don't believe the book. Now that I got your good and well attention, let me tell you what Baptists do. We do the same thing. We go get an illustration book or use illustrations or personal illustrations to illustrate this book when all the illustrations is right in here. No better way to tell you that Satan's an angel of light than to show you in the Bible.
Right.
Look back over Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We see that the purpose of the light is part of the purpose of growth in your life. But there's also a second part, and that's the purpose of listening. The Bible says in verse 23, watch this, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. We talk about the purpose of listening. I looked at this one day practically, and I thought about this. Somebody said this, and I thought about it and thought about it. We got two ears and one mouth. What does that tell me right off the bat? That tells me twice as much hearing as speaking. I mean, getting in stereo, too, right and left.
Right.
I ain't got to buy no surround sound. I got that built in. Okay, listen, if you go over here and talk, I can hear you. If you go over here and talk, I can hear you. But I hear you. I got surround sound built in.
Yep.
It don't sound as cool as your computer, but your computer's cheating, by the way. It's adding delay and reverb where there's not one there, so it's cheating a little bit. But I know this. If I'm going to do twice as much hearing as I am speaking, that's going to help me in the long run, because the Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. Sounds like a bad thing. So is the tongue among our members. It says that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell.
Right.
So God saw the problem early on when he was creating people. He knew what was going to happen. So he put it in a bath of spit and put ivory gates around it and two lips to seal it up. There's a reason why that's designed like that.
Yep.
You know what Foghorn Leghorn said? You want to talk about quotes? You like to talk to hear your head roar, don't you, boy? Now, there's a theological quote. We have fried chicken on that one, sure enough. And listen, don't get put out by that. God designed your whole head that way. We're talking about the master's design now. And twice as much hearing as speaking, so when we get time to pray, that means we need twice as much time in this Bible than we do telling God what he needs to do for us. You know what a petition is? That's where you come to God and say, here's the list, our prayer list. Before we ever get there, we need to take this book in.
Right.
Let him talk to us. Because it might be, and you'll find this out as you pray, and you got your Bible in front of you praying. You're praying, and you're asking God something. All of a sudden, it dawns on you. You're looking at something. You know what that something is? Here's what God said, do your prayer list. Here's what God said not to ask for. You have not because you ask not, right? Then you find over in James, you have not because you ask amiss. You ever ask God for $1 million?
Mm.
You ever ask God to give you $1 million? If you ask him and he don't give it to you, it might be a blessing and not a curse.
Right.
Tell you why. You might not know what to do with $1 million, and it might ruin you. Then again, it might ruin you and all your family that don't come around at Christmas, Thanksgiving, your birthday, and anything else. Start showing up out of the blue needing just a little bitty loan of $70,000. I promise I'll pay you back. Their credit report says they won't. Now watch this. You go in there and say, well, I'll give it to you. For long, you've loaned out $70,000, $150,000. Now all of a sudden, you've got $2 left. Can I ask you where your relatives will be this time next week after they got your money? It might be a blessing God don't give you that.
Yep.
A little help for you this morning. Listen, Lord, you give me $1 million? No. Why not, Lord? You can't handle it. You ever wonder sometimes, I met this young couple back years ago. They lived in a brick house down here on Highway 18. And I knew one of them from school, got to talking with them, and I thought, man, this is something else. These folks are doing well like they've been married for 40 years. They've been married less than 2 years. I asked that boy what he'd done for a living. He told me he had an average job. I had to ask, how'd you get this place? He said, well, we was 18, we was in love, we wanted to get married, but went to school and finished school and everything. 4 years later, we both worked our jobs and put every dime we had in the bank while we was living at home. How'd you get back for school? He said, well, I went to college in town, so I walked. Walked? No wonder he's in such good shape. That dude walks 2 miles a day. The girl said, well, I wasn't quite as spiritual as him. I drove. So I'm more spiritual than you, amen. I get it. But she went 30 miles one way. I don't know if he could have made it 30 miles. He got closer to me. So outside of a little gas expense, they'd done this and saved their money. They got a better jump start than, say, me and my wife had, or you and your wife had, or husband, whatever. And it comes down to this. Listen to this. If you listen to these older people that are doing well, find out how they got there and head that way. If somebody says, here's how this works, and they're at least twice your age, you might better listen. I'm going to run a big word by you. Amateurization. When I was 25 years old, I couldn't even spell it. But by the time I was 30, I knew what it was because of her husband. He said, do you know what an amateurization schedule is? I said, is that something you fly in there, them rockets you used to fly? Some of you look at me like I'm stupid. I was stupid back then. I'm just a little bit less stupid now. But he showed me something on a payment schedule, what that thing is. And we paid the church off within a year. All because I learned one word, and no, it wasn't on Sesame Street. Amen. They don't teach stuff like that on that. I learned it because it was a help. And I got to thinking, he's 3 times my age. He might know something. See, teenagers get this mentality, Mom and Dad, you're stupid. You're not with the times. There might be a reason why they're not with the times. They didn't look at the times and said, boy, they bankrupt on God, and they're going to follow the Lord and try to do right, and you're sitting there knowing everything. Well, I got a solution for you. I found at Pop's Corner back years ago when Frank Mayfield owned that store. He had a sign up that every teenager needs to hear. And some of you older people, maybe it'll help you too if you ain't got out of the dumb teenager stage. It said, while you know everything, move out now. No takers. You know why? Because all of a sudden you think, if I get out there, I won't call no names, but their last name rhymes with Atkins. It was me and Ben and some other people at this house, young people. We get out there and they're newlywed and they're moving into their little trailer out there in a trailer park, and he starts crying. I mean, like a baby just been born. His tears hit the floor. I went to a parent and said, what's wrong? He said, here comes the bills, here comes the bills, here comes the bills. I thought, bless his heart. Reality has set in right here. Of course, his mother-in-law laughed at him. I thought, man, that's just cruel, man. You don't have to kick a man while he's down like that. He's already got a bad enough kick in the stomach already. The reality just set in. But as we look at all that and we see that, you listen to the scriptures, you talk to the Savior, listen to him twice as much as you talk to him.
Yeah.
Number three part of the purpose of growth that'll help you, you got the purpose of light, you got the purpose of listening. If you look down at verse 24, we got the purpose of learning. You are responsible for your education. Not the state of South Carolina, not the United States, not the world, you are. In verse 24, he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and to you that hear shall more be given. What you need to do is simply this, study what you read and study what you hear. If somebody come to me and told me that 4 out of 5 people in the world are a certain ethnic race or whatever they are, or they're Chinese or whatever, I want to see their sources, I want to see that source's source, and I want to see what else they say. You compare sources. Don't stop with one. There was a singer back in the 80s named Richard Marx, and I saw him having a phone conversation on Zoom calls. Very interesting thing he said. The guy asked him, said, are you liberal or conservative? He said, I'm neither. The guy said, neither. He said, well, if I want to be a liberal, I turn on CNN and find out what they're spouting off about. If I want to be conservative, I turn on Fox and I see what they're spouting off about. And I find out who follows what's what they are, and that's the narrative they have. Both sides have it. I thought, God, he ain't just some dumb guy with good-looking hair. He's actually smart. And if you hear a rumor your mother loves you, you better check the references on that, too. I mean, you better check references, buddy. And I've noticed this, that he said, what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and the more you get, the more you're going to be given. If you go to church and you say, well, my preacher's the best, and you have the right to say it, but if you go to church and say, well, he told them today, what do you believe? I believe what the preacher said. What did he say? Out of the Bible. Let me get it straight. I've been preaching to you for over 30 minutes, and you're just going to take it at face value? I'd go home, make sure my Bible was said the same thing as yours. I'd find out everything I said today, and I'd go over that thing with a fine-tooth comb, and I'd find out whether or not what I said was right. That ain't for me. That's for you.
Yeah.
I go hear a preacher. I don't comment on what he says. I go check it out. Listen to me. There's some people, bless their hearts, they're trying to teach stuff that ain't even in the book. And they'll bring it up because they want to make a name for themselves. They're prideful. Let me give you a good example of this. Generational sins and a generational curse. Oh, anybody that does this sin, it'll be passed down to your parents, your grandparents. Well, the reason I'm a drunk, my daddy was a drunk, and his daddy was a drunk, and his great... It's a generational demon, a generational curse. It says it in the Bible. We read it today. And it does say that. But over in the book of Ezekiel, God says, I'm not doing that anymore. Every man's accountable for his own self. Now, all of a sudden, I can't blame my daddy for what I am. I can't blame my upbringing for what I am. I did that. So how'd you get that? I kept checking people out when he said stuff was in the Bible. Then I found out where they got it from. They got some holiness theologian that didn't know what he was talking about. He isolated the verse of scripture over there and made a whole thing about it trying to get famous. He never read the book of Ezekiel. He obviously never read about that cross where the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He missed that part, definitely. Now watch this. You study what you read, you study what you hear. In verse 25, you are rewarded on your responsibilities because it says, For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. What you know affects how far you go. And with the Lord, that's very important. There was a guy told me one time, he's a lost man. He said, why do Christians read the Bible over and over? He said, my wife will get one of them Harlequin books or some kind of paperback book or something. He said, she'll read it and get rid of it and get another one. I said, because this book ain't like that book.
Right.
The New York Times top sellers, the top 10 right now, they don't read me back. This book reads you back. I've never seen anybody improve in their life except God get a hold of them through the scriptures and improve what they are. And the foundation he starts with is Jesus Christ. And once you realize that you've got the Word of God and it's perfect in every way and you read it and it helps clean you up, it helps grow you up, and you start getting up in that book, you start seeing things that I don't see. God will be good to you like that. I had a man come to me and show me something about Noah a while back. I'm still wondering, man, how did he take a calculator and come up with that? I mean, it's spot on stuff. I got the notes wrote down to it from about a year ago, and I thought, he just said, I was reading the Bible, noticed this, and started showing me all these figures. I was like, I like that. I like that God gives other people things. But watch this. When you what you know affects how far you go with the Lord, but when you plan to be ignorant so you don't have to be accountable, you lose that which you got, and you're still accountable. There's going to be Christians who die, and they'll die in Christ. They're saved. They'll face him at the Bema Seat judgment of Christ, and he'll say, why didn't you do this for me or that for me? Oh, Lord, you know, I didn't. I just did my thing. And Christ's going to tell him, I didn't want you to do your thing. I want you to do my thing. And you've seen so many movies and stuff, and people say, oh, just give me one more chance, and they send you back to earth. That don't happen. Karma don't happen. You don't get to come back and be a doorknob or whatever, a cow or whatever. You don't get a second chance to do it over after you're there. Do it now. Live for Jesus while you got the chance. There'll be no regrets in the end. I've talked to older Christians that's lived for the Lord 40 years, and they all say the same thing. If I had to do it over again, I'd do it again. I know I'm soon to meet my maker. I know that the Lord is nigh, and I'm glad, thank God, he's walked with me along the way, because this has been such a hard road to be on without him. He can, and he will. I preached a message a while back out of Exodus chapter 3, and I'll never forget this. I am, I have, and I will. Boy, that's three of the greatest statements God ever made to Moses. He is who he is. He can, but not only that, he will. Do you know that little passage of scripture, I will, seven times? Wow. Of all places for seven to show up, will of God. That's God's will. Now watch this. If you plan on being ignorant, you lose more than you have. And the craziest thing is this. I could ask you, are you ready? But I'm asking you for three things. Number one, are you ready for the light? You ready for this book to shine on that thing? Would you be okay, or has it been shining already? Are you ready to listen? God speaks. Do you want to listen? And number three, simply this, are you ready to learn? It's going to take a while to take all this in. There's 66 books here, 31,102 verses. It's going to take a while to get to all of them, but if I died tomorrow, I'd die trying to get some of them. I bought this thing while I was out of town. It's a little paperback book called The Memorization New Testament. It's that thick. You know, he takes five words at a time and puts them on the line. First thing I thought of was, this looks impossible. But then it dawned on me. With somebody, all things are possible. Who's the somebody? I watched an 88-year-old man in my Bible class in New Testament in 1995 quote the Bible in three languages. You would just ask him, what does Mark chapter 6, verse 2 say? He'd tell you in three languages. I might get one of them languages and get halfway, but I'm going to get my best shot. So why? Well, this book says to hide his word in your heart, you might not sin against him. Against him. I want to keep everything right here. I try to keep everything right this way, but I'm definitely going to keep this way. I can try if you won't and I will, then it's just me. But if me and him can stay right, and he can bring you around eventually, I'm sure. I heard Brian talking about getting beat to death by God the last couple weeks. I kept thinking, is he following me around now? Like he claims I follow him around. Ain't that something? And then I thought they'd saw 10 commandments. Boy, that's going to be a rough ride today, sure enough, ain't it? It's going to be so rough ride, we're going to do it again next week, right? I mean, we got all that coming. Hey, listen, are you ready? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you ready?